I want to pray, and I'm going to pray the words of a song that I was reminding my wife that she and I used to sing with our church choir just before the message, before our pastor spoke. So would you bow with me in prayer? Spirit of God, descend upon my heart. Wean it from earth, and through all its pulses move. Stoop to my weakness, mighty as you are, and make me love thee as I ought to love. Teach me to love thee as thine angels love, one holy passion filling all my frame, the baptism of the heavenly descended dove, my heart an altar, and thy love a flame. Lord, as we open your word today, I pray that we would be very mindful that you're speaking in your word, and that your word never returns to you void. I pray that you would do your work, engage my mind and my heart, and I pray that for all who listen today. I thank you in Jesus' name, amen. So I wonder, have you been watching any of the Olympics? You know that they're a year late, right? And everywhere on every display it says the 2020 Olympics in Japan. And it's not a delayed broadcast, in case you were wondering. It's happening now. And so this is really fun. It's fun to see people take a victory lap. Usually it's not around a track, but so often it's standing on a podium. And while they are individual athletes and individual teams, and we call them ours when they win, it's their wonderful victory that they and their parents have probably paid quite a price for. And we just get to go along on their coattails and enjoy. It's so enjoyable. This morning, we were watching a little bit of, it wasn't a victory lap yet. Don't know if it will be, but because we had sons that played water polo, we watched a little bit of water polo today. And I know that you can just feel some of the tension that we felt on the sidelines, even though there aren't that many people on the sidelines right now. And we just watched from a distance. But we also watched we watched a woman who won the gold medal, an American, won the gold medal in fencing. And wow, that was amazing. And to see her as she stood on the podium, and all of them masked as our national anthem was played, and then she's masked as well. And when it was over for the cameras, she took off her mask, and you could just see the great, great joy on her face. So a victory is a good thing, isn't it? It's really a wonderful thing. And we are invited by God always to live and enjoy the victory that Christ has purchased for us in his blood on the cross. And but sometimes, do you ever feel like, sometimes I don't feel so victorious. Sometimes my compulsions just overtake me. And it might be a compulsion to clean, or it might be a compulsion to make excuses, or a compulsion to just be angry and bitter and rehearse things that they just kind of dragged me down. Is this the victory for which Christ died? So today we're going to talk a little bit about claiming victory. And I want you to turn with me in your Bibles, please. We're going to turn to Galatians chapter 5. I hope you have your notes. And these are available in the back, printed on a wonderful printer that we just got activated. And thanks to those who made all of that work. But I'm going to read this morning from Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 13 through the end of the chapter. 13, 14 verses. Galatians chapter 5. Listen to these words taken from the New International Version. Paul writing this. You, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not let your freedom, do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you'll be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of anger, or fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy and drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live by like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit, and let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Let me pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for Jess and Naomi, for their 68 years of marriage. Thank you, Lord, for a family that they have pointed toward Christ. Thanks for all sorts of victory along the way. And we thank you that they've been able to celebrate those 68 years, sharing it with family and friends. We pray, Father, for their walk with you, that they would continue to know your presence and the joy of each other and seeing what you're doing in each other's lives. Lord, I pray right now as we open your word that you will engage my heart as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 16, once again, Paul says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not, You will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. I wonder, I suggested last week that you meditate on this text throughout the week, and I hope you did. And as you did, you likely saw things maybe along the way that needed to be reinforced for you in terms of your understanding of what God's word has to say. It reinforced maybe your understanding as to how you can live that victorious Christian life. Live by the Spirit, or walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. I mean, that was the version that I initially memorized from the New American Standard. Walk by the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Now, they're going to be at war with each other, the flesh and the Spirit. They don't work together. They're not pulling for the same goals, the flesh and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would be in us, and that that Spirit that's in us would make a difference in the way we live our lives. So the Spirit's in us. The Spirit is in us. Now the question is, do we cooperate with what the Spirit is doing? I love the words of Jesus in John chapter 5, when Jesus is challenged for once again healing on the Sabbath. And he said to these legalists who were taught by God's word to honor the Sabbath and to set the Sabbath aside and to not work on the Sabbath, he said, basically, you're doing this really in the flesh. Now listen, my Father today on the Sabbath is always at work. He's always at work in the world, everywhere in the world, and he is right now. That as we prayed with this person, did you get his name? I didn't get. I've listened to it probably half dozen times anyway. I couldn't understand his name. Where was he from? Saudi Arabia. He's from Saudi Arabia. I remember when my brother-in-law was talking about doing business there, and they were going this massive area where they kneel and pray. They have a certain amount of space, and it's marked out for each person, and thousands upon thousands of people kneeling in their space, and they have to stay in it. You saw the rows, right? As they would kneel and pray. My brother-in-law had a product that he could coat all of those tiles, and he was working through someone else with the Saudi government to cover all of those, so they'd be clean and ready for worship. Jesus said, "My Father is always at work in the world." That's why this man from Saudi Arabia said, "Will you join me in praying for these people whose hearts they're coming to that place, desiring to encounter God? Pray with me that they will encounter Jesus in his word or in a vision or dreams. But pray that they will begin to consider Jesus. God is always at work in the world." So Paul says, walk in the Spirit. The expression, the words that Paul uses, he uses two words. And it is the word Spirit. That's the first word in the sentence in the Greek. Spirit. And the second word is be actively, continually walking. Spirit walking. Spirit walking. It means continually, moment by moment, as we live our lives, be in the Spirit. Be submissive to the Spirit. Be dependent upon and leaning upon the Spirit. Be, as you're living your life, be constantly counseled by the Spirit. Be taught by the Spirit. Be strengthened by the Spirit. Be aware of the Spirit's presence with you. In the midst of this walk, as you're walking through this life, Paul is saying, be guided by the Spirit. Have you been someplace? Have you ever been someplace where you were guided into a place that you were with which you were very unfamiliar? It's really, really a helpful thing to have when you're covering ground that you're not familiar with, or ground upon which you are pretty uncomfortable. For one reason or another, maybe it's rocky, maybe it has sudden drops here and there. When somebody says to you, now just watch your step. There's a step down here, just a little step. It's not a full step, just a little step. But those things can really jar your spine, can't they? No matter what your age is. Boom, what happened? So the Spirit is here with us. Be walking. Let him guide you. Let him take you through the rough patches and make you aware of the dangers around you. Continually walking, be in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Continually be in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. The word fellowship means to participate. We have fellowship. We have fellowship when we walk into a place like this. We greet each other. We talk to each other back and forth and listen to each other. We get each other's names or introduce ourselves. And we're trying to cultivate this relationship. Being in fellowship with the Holy Spirit on a continuous basis is to have this give and take going on and participating with the Holy Spirit. Have you been today, this morning, participating with the Holy Spirit? When we sang the songs that we sang, just regardless of whether it was a familiar song or a familiar way of singing, volume, whatever, were you participating with the Holy Spirit and engaged by the Holy Spirit in this time of worship? It's in the moment. Jesus said to the disciples, he talked about it a different way in John chapter 15. He referred to it there when he says, I'm the vine and you're the branches. And he says, abide in me. Continue to have this relationship with me. If you abide in my word and my word abides in you, you can ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. It's not going to be done for us because I'm on good behavior. I was abiding in his word and I was talking to him. So he's got to give me what I asked. He said so in John chapter 15, verse 7. No, it's the kind of stuff we ask for are the things that are consistent with that relationship that we have with him. When we're walking in the Spirit, when we're walking along continually, moment by moment, it's a lot easier to relax versus be tense. It's a lot easier to be calm and not fearful. Now, fear, like just about every emotion, is one of those things that kind of comes up from behind, sneaks around, and just bites you, doesn't it? It wasn't that you were sitting around one day and thinking, I need to be deathly afraid right now. I need to be shaking in my boots right now. I think I'm going to do that, okay? Anybody want to join me right now in a moment of desperate fear? See, fear just kind of comes out of nowhere. Comes out of nowhere. Same thing happens with anger sometimes. A look, a smell, a sound, a phrase, and we react. We're explosive. And the Spirit is there to, okay, okay, I'm here. You don't have to go down this path now. Walk in the Spirit. Be guided by the Spirit throughout all of this. In your notes, I broke this down into just two basic ways, because the question would come up to me. How do I go about walking in the Spirit? And I'm suggesting here that what's involved in walking in the Spirit is basically, you could break it down into two things. How do I do this? Well, first and foremost, you need to be willing to have fellowship with the Spirit right now, at this moment in time. If I'm walking around, I'm living my life. I just read something this past week where somebody said, be positive. Be positive. Do you realize that we're all billionaires? Well, most people are billionaires. Most people are multi-billionaires. We're all going to get an average life today, average life for an American. You are going to have between 1 and 2 billion seconds to live. So how are you going to live those seconds? You're going to live them walking around as a Christian. We have the opportunity, the choice, of spending those seconds, those precious seconds. When you come down to the end of your life, it's like you just want to grab to every one of them right till the end. And walk in the Spirit. What a way to live versus always surrendering these moments to fear and anger and something that just isn't worthy of a relationship with God. Spend those moments walking in the Spirit. It could be moments of joy. It could be moments when your team wins. It could be moments of pleasure when it just feels good. Last night, sitting outside at our home, it was just a nice, cool night. Little bit of breeze, I looked out across at my neighbors, and they were sitting outside enjoying it, and even had a gas fire going right there. It was sweet, and what a beautiful night as the sun set. Joyful moments, walk in the Spirit. Fearful moments, walk in the Spirit. Stressful moments, chaotic moments, walk in the Spirit. Could be something going on outside of you and something that's rising up inside of you. Come to this moment with a desire. Walking in the Spirit begins with a desire, a willingness to listen to the Spirit, because it will be the Spirit living inside of you as a believer who will say, be at peace. Come on, be at peace. I'm here. Has that happened to you? Sure it has. Sure it has. It's been many times. Maybe it was someone else walking in the Spirit who just said, reached over and patted you on the arm and said, calm down. Be at peace. It's going to be okay. Listening to the Spirit it's so important that we need to be willing or desire to listen. Can you think of some people in your life that have delivered that message to you? It's going to be okay. Maybe it was someone who prayed with you. In fact, when they suggested, can we just pray right now about this? Can we just pray? And you're going, oh, I'm not in any mood to pray. Now, would you be willing, I'll just pray, okay? Because I know it's tough right now for you. It's just, this is chaos. And you pray. And they began to pray. And that peace of God just flooded over you. That's walking in the Spirit. in that moment. And what a wonderful thing it is. There's a second piece to this, walking in the Spirit, being willing. But the second piece is being a readiness to obey God. A readiness to obey. That's when somebody, you're just ticked off. You are wired. You're angry. Okay, Lord, breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew. Go ahead. Okay, God. I'm willing to listen. And the Spirit of God says, that bitterness that's kind of grabbed you once again, give it up. The second piece is be willing to obey. Got it. I was wrong. I was blowing up inside. Forgive me. I was taking other people with me on this horrible, horrible ride. Forgive me. And give it up. A willingness to listen, next a willingness and a readiness to do what God wants us to do. Amen? That's walking in the Spirit. Willingness to listen, desiring to listen, and a willingness to respond. So Paul says, so I say live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify, you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. And I listed some of the desires of the flesh. This is not an exhaustive list. Did you read those verses 19 through 21? Well, That's a paragraph of ugly, isn't it? Really ugly. Well, Lord, I think I'm safe on all those. I don't know. I guess I've had my moments. Probably a lot more than I'd like anybody in this room to know about. Yeah, I've had my moments. By Jesus' definition, by the definition of your Sunday school teacher or some other pastor, you've had your moments. Don't tell me you haven't. That's a pretty ugly list. So we see these nagging negatives right here. And our list can go on and on and on and on. Where basically we take control. This list of things, this gratifying the flesh is... It's really, really ugly things like pride and ambition. I mean, self-serving ambition. For a pastor, for somebody who stands and teaches and preaches, it might be, boy, I'm sure hoping somebody really liked this message and writes me a card this week and tells me how wonderful I am. But I have to say, folks, it happens. This was what happens, honestly, in my life. So here's my confession. Once again, when it's over, I want to know I did a good job, whether somebody tells me or not. I'm not even dependent upon that. I just need to know in the quietness of my heart that I knocked it out of the park. Isn't that terrible? That's self. All week long, I could say, Lord, speak. Speak, Lord, in your Spirit. I could have somebody come up and say, your kids are great. They're wonderful. And I don't even bother saying thanks to Marilyn. My wife, you know, of almost 52 years. No, I'm thinking, yeah. Man, no, that's why you taught all those classes in parenting adolescents. I want the credit. And that credit, I want to take the victory lap. So that's why I say this paragraph isn't complete. We can all make our own paragraph of things that we need to confess. The pastor that I learned to preach from, said that he was a young single pastor. Some of you may have heard me say this. After a message, some young single guy, he preached his heart out, and a widower stopped by and on the way out the door, shook his hand and said, "Would you come to my house for lunch?" So he went to his house for lunch. He had a nice little meatball lunch. And then his host said to him, "So why is it you're so powerless in the pulpit?" I thought he was going to give me a bonus or something. And he said, "I'll tell you why you're powerless." He said, "You're proud. You're oozing pride. Take this piece of paper," and he said, go in my bedroom over there and write down all your sins of pride, all the pride in your life." And he went in the room, and man, he was stewing. He was steaming. And he, anger, okay, that's it. I guess I'm angry, so I might as well admit it. I feel cheated. I feel like I'm a victim. Okay, pride. And he kept on writing until he filled up both sides of that paper. And he walked out a pretty drained person. Young, single, pastor. He was drained. And he said, the man said to him, "Did you do that? Did you do your assignment?" "Yeah, I did." He said, "I want you to turn around, walk in back into that room, and write the words in there. Over these words, write in large letters over there what you read in 1 John 1:9. And then do what it says. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." He said, after quite a season again in there, I came out. And he said, "Did you pray? Did you ask for forgiveness?" "Yeah, I did." He said, "I want you now to crumple that up, put it in this plate, and we're going to burn it. Because that's done. Do you believe that God will forgive you for that?" "Yeah." He said, "That was a turning point in my life. Monumental. But I wasn't the only person that had been in that room. That was the father of Nate Saint, one of the five young missionaries that were killed by the Alka Indians. And I wasn't the only spiritual leader that had been in that room going through that same exercise. I had been preceded by Dr. Bill Bright with Campus Crusade for Christ. Victory over the desires of the flesh are victories when we know and we recognize it wasn't me that overcame my pride. And you can pick up my book, Pride and How I Attained It. No, it wasn't me that won that victory. It was the Spirit of God working in me. It was the Spirit of God working in me through a man who had felt like he lost everything when he lost his son and later lost his wife. It was the Spirit of God meeting him in that room. You see, the last point in the message is victory laps. We take victory laps when we praise God, when we thank him, when we, in the quietness of our own hearts, say, "Lord, this was you." When people acknowledge that you inspired them, you encouraged them, we just, whether we say it out loud or not, like, well, praise God. Internally, that's exactly what we're doing. All these years that I've been preaching, it still has to be the same route for me. Because I want the credit. I want the victory lap. I want to stand on that podium and have everybody just applauding me. But when we realize that it is the Spirit with whom I'm walking that gets the credit. That's where we need to go. Would you join me in prayer? And would you stand with me, please? Dear Heavenly Father, you've called us to this place. You call us moment by moment to not just be your kids for life, but to turn to you and to trust you. I thank you, Father, for the gift of the Holy Spirit, who's in me, who is in us. I thank you, Lord, that it's, while it's our responsibility to turn to you, it's what you do to even get us to that point of turning to you and asking you to take our hand and lead us. Thank you, Father, for the strength that you give us through your Spirit and the wisdom and understanding and encouragement. Thank you, Father, for the correction and the instruction in righteousness. Thanks, Lord, for getting us back on track. And Lord, I pray you'd continue to remind us when we take control, when we take the reins, and when we take the credit, remind us to humbly give it all to you. Dismiss us now, Father, in the power of the Spirit, able to stand before you boldly and with great joy. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.